Hello, and welcome back, or if you are here for the first time, welcome to Epicenter. My name is Camilla Foy, and today I'm going to be talking about something that often doesn't get the attention it deserves in conversations about epilepsy, comorbidities. If you've never heard of that term before, don't worry. By the end of this episode, you'll understand exactly what comorbidities are, why they're so common in epilepsy, how they can look different from what you might expect, and why the solutions that exist still aren't working as well as they should. A comorbidity is the presence of one or more additional conditions that occur alongside a primary condition. In this context, epilepsy is the primary condition, and the comorbidities can be psychiatric disorders, developmental delays, physical illnesses, or cognitive impairments. These conditions don't just sit quietly in the background. They often interact with epilepsy itself and can complicate nearly every part of someone's life. It's important to understand a few distinctions here. A comorbidity is not the same as a complication. A complication is when epilepsy directly causes a symptom, whereas a comorbidity is a separate, chronic, or diagnosable condition that exists alongside it. It also isn't the same as a side effect. For example, depression that begins after starting seizure medications could be a side effect, but depression that started before treatment or exists independently would be a comorbidity. Finally, there is the issue of misdiagnosis. Sometimes seizure-like symptoms get labeled as psychological disorders, or mental health symptoms get mistaken for seizure activity. This is why careful evaluation is so critical. There are so many reasons why comorbidities are so common in epilepsy. Some of them are biological, others are psychological or social, and often they are all connected. One of the biggest factors is that many of the same regions in the brain involved in seizures also regulate mood, attention, and behavior. For example, temporal lobe epilepsy is linked to higher rates of depression and anxiety because the temporal lobe plays a major role in memory and emotion. If abnormal brain activity affects the frontal lobe, a person might have problems with impulse control. Another reason is developmental overlap. When epilepsy begins in early childhood, it can disrupt normal brain development, especially if seizures occur during key developmental periods. This can interfere with language, attention, learning, or social skills, which helps explain why ADHD, autism, and intellectual disabilities are more common among children with epilepsy. Medication also plays a role. Anti-seizure medicines can sometimes worsen fatigue, depression, irritability, or cognitive dulling. Constant medication adjustments, side effects, and living with the uncertainty of when a seizure will happen can create a psychological toll that looks a lot like mental health conditions. Living with chronic uncertainty is another piece of the puzzle. Not knowing when the next seizure will occur, being afraid to go to school or work, and feeling socially isolated can lead to anxiety, depression, or even PTSD-like symptoms. Beyond the medical aspects, there are also social and environmental factors to consider. Stigma, discrimination, bullying, and feeling misunderstood can deeply affect mental health, especially in young people. Finally, emerging research suggests that inflammation in the brain or certain genetic risk factors can make someone more likely to experience both epilepsy and psychiatric conditions. One of the most important things to know is that comorbidities don't always look the same in people with epilepsy as they do the general population. The symptoms themselves can be misleading. For instance, mental health symptoms may be mistaken for seizure activity, and vice versa. A dissociative episode might look like a seizure, or a seizure aura could feel like a panic attack. Temporal lobe seizures can trigger sudden emotional shifts, déjà vu, or fear, which sometimes get confused with PTSD or bipolar disorder. These overlaps can delay diagnosis or lead to treatment that doesn't address the real problem. Another unique factor is that these conditions can interact with seizure control itself. Anxiety, depression, and sleep disorders can increase seizure frequency, and poor seizure control can worsen psychological symptoms, creating a feedback loop that isn't usually seen in people without epilepsy. Treatment resistance is also more common in epilepsy. Depression and anxiety often respond less predictably to standard medications, and some antidepressants can lower the seizure threshold, making them riskier to use. Access to psychotherapy is often limited in neurology settings, and treatment plans always have the added layer of balancing mental health with seizure stability. Comorbidities often go undiagnosed for longer, especially in children. Emotional, cognitive, and behavioral issues are sometimes dismissed as just a part of the epilepsy, or written off as medication side effects, instead of recognized as separate conditions that deserve treatment. Living with both epilepsy and another condition like ADHD or depression can create overlapping challenges that are hard to entangle. For example, a teenager might miss school because of seizures, struggle to focus, feel exhausted from medication, and face stigma from classmates. While that doesn't mean life is automatically easier without epilepsy, it does mean the pattern of difficulties is different. Mental health symptoms can also lead to internalized stigma and confusion about identity. Feeling out of control in a different way than during a seizure can create shame and fear that are hard to talk about. Unfortunately, there is no one-size-fits-all solution, but there are approaches that can help. Integrated care models are considered the gold standard. This is when neurologists, psychiatrists, psychologists, and primary care providers work together, so mental health isn't treated as an afterthought. In some epilepsy centers, patients receive routine screenings for depression, anxiety, and cognitive function, just like they would for seizure frequency. Routine mental health screenings make early detection more likely, which improves outcomes. Tools like the PHQ-9 for depression or GAD scales for anxiety can help flag issues during regular neurology appointments. This is especially important for kids and teens, who may not have the words to explain what they're feeling. Treatment plans also need to be personalized. Some seizure medications can worsen mood, while others can actually help with both seizures and mood symptoms. Polypharmacy, which is when a person takes multiple medications, requires careful balance. Psychotherapy, including cognitive behavioral therapy and trauma-informed care, can be very helpful, but only if people can access it. Patient and family education is critical. Helping families understand the connection between mental health and epilepsy empowers everyone involved to take action sooner. Sometimes parents, teachers, and even patients themselves assume changes in behavior are just the epilepsy, when they're actually signs of something more. Support groups and peer connections are also important. Talking to other people who truly understand can be validating and healing. Peer-led spaces can reduce stigma and isolation, especially for teens and young adults. Some organizations even offer mentorship programs or helplines staffed by people with lived experience. In schools and workplaces, accommodations like individualized education plans, 504 plans, flexible scheduling, and mental health days can help balance the emotional toll of living with epilepsy. Despite all these tools and approaches, there are still major barriers. Healthcare is often siloed, which means neurologists focus mostly on seizure control, and mental health providers may not understand how seizures affect mood or behavior. Rarely do both fields coordinate care, especially outside of major epilepsy centers. Access to mental health care is limited. Many patients, particularly in rural areas or underfunded health systems, can't find therapists or psychiatrists who have experience with epilepsy. Even if they do, insurance doesn't always cover both specialties adequately, and long wait lists, transportation issues, and financial barriers can make treatment feel out of reach. Mental health stigma remains a huge challenge. In families, schools, and medical settings, there's often reluctance to talk openly about mental health. Patients may feel ashamed or fear they'll be seen as dramatic or unstable. Young people especially might hide their symptoms because they don't want to be treated differently. Screening isn't standardized. Some clinics screen routinely for depression and anxiety, while others never do. Even when symptoms are obvious, providers may not know what steps to take next. For children, mental health struggles can look like irritability or defiance and get dismissed as behavior problems. Medications also complicate treatment, because some seizure treatments worsen mood or attention, and some mood treatments increase seizure risk. Providers are often forced to make trade-offs between seizure control and mental stability, and medication adjustments can feel like trial and error. Finally, the emotional labor often falls on the patient. People with epilepsy are expected to advocate for themselves, coordinate their own care, research options, and push for help. This can be exhausting, especially for teens, parents, or anyone already struggling with their mental health. To conclude today's episode, I want to emphasize that comorbidities are not rare, and they are not less important than the seizures themselves. They deserve just as much attention, understanding, and support. In the next episodes, I'll be diving deeper into specific conditions like depression, anxiety, ADHD, and PTSD, and exploring what research and lived experience can teach us about each one. Thank you so much for listening to Epicenter. If you found this episode helpful, please consider sharing it with someone who might benefit or connecting with me on social media. Together, we can make epilepsy care more compassionate and complete. Have an amazing day, and thank you for being here.